Welcome to the Sales Strong Podcast. For anyone in a sales career, Sales Strong by Mama Sales is your resource for holistic and sustainable success at work and in life. Our episodes will include sales tips and techniques, along with lifestyle strategies to maintain fulfillment and success both personally and professionally. I believe that balance and wellness in your personal life is what dictates and drives success in your career. Welcome back to the Sales Strong Podcast. I'm your host, Colleen Manning. For additional resources and content, or for more information on the Mama Sales Mentor and Coaching Program, please visit mama-sales.com. Our guest today brings us 20 plus years of sales experience, has sold over $50 million in sales, and has 3 degrees, including a law degree, and is now the CEO of Sales Impact Group, which is a strategic consulting enterprise with a focus on developing sales solutions for startups, midsize, and large corporations. With her breadth of expertise in sales, she's also here today to speak with us about how prayer and meditation have impacted her life for the better. Please welcome Mary Lombardo.
Hi, Colleen.
Hi, Mary. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
You have quite the extensive background, and I'm excited to have you on today. It's interesting because I feel like we originally were kind of excited about kicking off this wellness topic, and just really didn't even realize the amount of sales experience that you can also bring to the listeners today too. So very happy to have you here.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Yes, of course. Let's get right started. Why don't you just give us a little bit of background on yourself and kind of catch us up with what you've been up to?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So as you said briefly, I spent over 20 years in sales, and I started my career as a field sales rep. So I was out pounding the proverbial pavement as it is, trying to find business. I'm a hunter, if you will, and that's just kind of who I am. So I started as a field sales rep and always in the education sector, and I was able to quickly open territories, open new businesses. And so I was kind of earmarked to climb the corporate ladder. And I did that over a 10-year period of time. And I became the vice president of sales for the largest ed tech company in the world. I also spent some time in 2 other Fortune 1000 companies where I was managing huge sales teams, 150 people nationwide, with big quotas. And it was something that I enjoyed. I still enjoyed it, in my heart. I'm still a field sales rep. Just give me a bag and something to sell, and I'm a happy camper. But I spent a lot of years building a career in sales, managing people in sales. Love the thrill of the hunt, love the wins. And probably 3 years ago, I just decided, actually, I didn't decide. I think it was decided for me in terms of just my own spiritual growth, that it was time to stop that chapter. Hmm. So It was just time to stop. Like I just couldn't do it for another day. So I started my own business. I left that. It was great. I have awesome relationships, but it was just time for something else. So I left that business and I started my own, which is essentially what I've been doing for the last 25 years. So I now focus on working with small to mid-sized businesses. And we provide outsourced sales management and diagnostic and prescriptive sales training. And so that's where I spend my time. And that's what I love to do. I love building. I love helping businesses build and scale. And that's what I've done for my whole life. And so that's the brief. That's the high level overview of where I've been and what I do now.
I love it. I would love to hear, you mentioned you couldn't possibly do what you were doing for like even another day. What was it that really struck you and kind of made that switch for you?
You know, it was an internal process that I couldn't ignore anymore. It was a voice that started as a whisper that then became like a screaming internal voice that I could not ignore. And my personal belief is that was just my spirit saying it's time to move on. I had checked all the boxes, Colleen. I had done everything that I wanted to do. I had achieved all the things that I wanted to achieve because they were important to me at that time. But something inside shifted. Those things weren't important. And it stopped being fun, quite frankly. And to spend those type of hours and dedication, and my life became work. And it was, I was out of balance for sure, but I loved it. And I stopped loving it. And the fun stopped. It wasn't fun to be on an airplane 3 times a week anymore. And it was an inside voice saying, we're done here. Done it. Time to move on. Let's move on.
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
So how did you end up like making that transition? I mean, obviously now I would kind of expect that what you're doing is like more intensive, and now you're the CEO of a company, right? Like what ended up making that transition for you, and how did you get there?
Well, it was very scary. So I'll tell you that. My family thought I was crazy. All of my friends said, you've lost your mind. But it didn't matter what anybody said anymore. So what I did was I had to deal with the fear of the insecurity to make that kind of leap. And I started going inward. And the way that I did that was to start a meditation and prayer practice. And because, you know, for me, like my insides drive me. And for many years, I was disconnected from that internal voice that I have. And so I started a daily meditation and prayer, an evening prayer practice. And over time, it took time for this brain to slow down and to just continue to be centered. And the more that I was centered, the more my instincts and my intuition, I could hear it better and clearer, because I was connecting with it. And for me, I have to make a conscious effort to connect with who I am intrinsically. Mm. And that's where I find all of my source of power and strength, and a place where I can go to when I'm full of fear. And so that's what I did. You know, that's what I did. I just started this process of, it's going to be fine. I know it's going to be fine. And the only way that it can be fine is for me to keep going inside. And because that's where all my power is.
Hmm. I know for a lot of us, it's really hard. I don't know if it's trusting our gut or being able to like listen to that instinct that we have. How did you like make the leap or figure out that, hey, like, what your brain or what your body is telling you really matters? And, you know, how did you end up like listening more?
So it became unavoidable. And I think I would agree with your point, Colleen, that many of us have a hard time trusting our guts, our instincts. And I think my personal opinion is that we're conditioned. I know I was, in my family of origin, you know, to always be on the outside, to never mind what you think, what does everybody else think? And it's very difficult to go against those foundational beliefs that were given to us or were conditioned to us in school and society and our families of origin. But I tried to avoid this internal voice because it was an awesome job. It wasn't, you know, like I had checked all the boxes, and in society, you know, my resume was fantastic. But I tried to avoid it. And inside, I just knew oh, this is not fun anymore. I really don't care. I just stopped caring. And then it started coming out physically. And so the more I avoided it, the more it started coming out physically. I started getting migraine headaches. I got shingles. And
I just had that too.
Oh, that was terrible. And I was like, okay, all right, I hear you. I hear you. I don't want to hear you because I'm too scared to make this change. But, you know, the manifestations of me trying to shut down my internal voice started coming out physically, and I just couldn't avoid it anymore. And, you know, I went to neurologists and they were very happy to put me on pain medication. And I was like, I don't want that, you know? So that's how it just became like the voice inside started coming out physically. And it was like, you have to make this change and trust. And that's the big thing. Trust that you're going to be okay. And it was very scary and it was a big leap of faith. But I couldn't do it. I was dying inside. I was dying inside. And I didn't want to live that way anymore.
Yeah, definitely. I'm curious about, you know, obviously you figured out, you know, your body was telling you physically, mentally that it was time to move on. How did you end up getting into prayer and meditation? And what were some like the day-to-day or tactics that you were taking to kind of like have that reset and refresh?
Yeah. So it's, I just happened to move, you know, like I really believe there's no coincidences, but like coincidence, I moved to a new area in Illinois. It's a small town, and right in the downtown area, there's this metaphysical center. And I walked in and they have this whole community of people that, and they have meditation times and they have all these different healing times and classes. And so I thought, this is fantastic. I just was compelled, again, no coincidences. I was compelled to get into this meditation group that they held every Friday evening. And it was a community thing where people would get together from the community. We'd all sit in meditation for an hour. And at first it was just like monkey brains. It was like an hour. This is an eternity. But, and the suggestion was to do it every day, for 5 minutes, and the 5 minutes became longer and longer and longer. And so that's how it started. And I started to have these little nuances of, peace. Of serenity, of assurity, and it came over time of this practice to quiet my mind and get back in touch with who I am as a human being. And I was very disconnected from that for a long, long, long time.
It's interesting. So I'd love to hear. Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned like the 5 minutes a day, because I certainly don't envision myself or say that I meditate, but I will say I try after every time, you know, I'm done with my exercise routine in the morning to just shut off the music, lay down and just kind of like stretch or be peaceful and quiet, you know, for however long I can. What does meditation look like for you? Like, how do you kind of get rid of that monkey brain and really just focus on like the now?
Yeah, it takes practice. It just takes practice. And I couldn't understand that. I really thought that everybody else in the room was in this place of Zen and everybody is the same thing. So it just takes practice. And there's glimpses of nothingness, which is ideally for me where I'd like to get to is the space of nothingness. But it takes practice, and for me, it comes in glimpses, and they're fleeting. And then I have to get back to just they say focus on the breath, focus on the breath. And if the more I can do that, the more I can get in between the thoughts, because the thoughts keep coming. And Yeah, so that's what I do. It takes practice, practice, practice. But the more I do it, the better I feel, the more in tune I am with who I am and why I'm here, and just a complete shifting of my motivations. My, you know, why, like, what am I doing here? What am I doing here, and why am I doing it, kind of thing.
And
And I think that, you know, very early on for me, I was very disconnected from that because that's just the family that I grew up in. You know, the family I grew up in said, we got it taken care of here. This is what you're going to do. This, and this. So, and that's what I did.
I'm also curious, like, what today looks like for you. Do you continue to kind of go to that weekly session, or have you developed a personal routine that you're able to kind of do from home? Or what does your daily routine look like now?
So I still go to the weekly meditation group because, you know, it's become a little community of friends. But I start every day with meditation. And when I miss that, I am spinning off like I always do into checking my emails, putting out the next fire. Before I know it, it's lunch and I haven't eaten. And I can go right back to that so quickly, and I don't want to live in that space anymore. So I need to take the time to center myself, to get in touch with myself and my version of spirituality, because it helps me launch the day in a more purposeful mindset. And I do not like the space of being like a whirling dervish and not taking care of myself. And I spent a lot of years not taking care of myself. I wasn't eating right. I was on airplanes. I was eating, you know, fast food and lots of caffeine. And not that I don't drink caffeine. You can see here I have my little can of Diet Coke because I still have it. But I start the morning in meditation and prayer. I feed my body. I exercise. And then I can more purposefully go out into the world with an intention of this is what I want to put out in the world.
Do you think, like, knowing what you know now, would you have done anything differently for the 20 years that you were kind of like having that corporate life? Like, what do you think it ended up being? Like, I hate this job and I don't love this job or what I'm doing anymore. Or if you had developed, like, self-routine or self-care earlier on, do you think you could have maintained that lifestyle?
I mean, maybe. I don't know what would have happened. I know I wish, you know, that I would have started being more in touch with myself a long time ago. But I guess we all have a path and a journey to walk. And I don't know if my wiser self would have done anything different earlier on. I really was, I mean, it was I was just like very, very outwardly focused, and that's what I did. And that's shifted now.
There are obviously, like, a lot of people out there that are probably listening who are in sales roles, doing the same thing, climbing the corporate ladder. Is
Right.
there any advice that we could offer to them that might help them kind of like maintain that control or holistic, wellness for themselves as they do kind of climb that corporate ladder?
Oh gosh, yes. So the first bit of advice, for whatever it's worth, that I would tell anybody that's starting out in sales or is currently in sales is to love yourself. The more we love ourselves, the more we have to put out into the world. And to, you know, sales, we have a quota on our heads. And, you know, in the sales that I was doing, if you don't make your quota, you lose your job. But if that's, you know, if that, I would hope and offer that it doesn't matter what your quota is, because you will lose yourself if you don't take care of yourself first. And and value yourself and what you have to offer and what you bring to the table. And it's, you know, I think a lot of that is like fear-based, and I understand that. But the first bit of advice is you first, you're number one. Love yourself, nourish yourself, care for yourself, and then show up for the world. And the quotas will be what they'll be. And if you don't make your quota, you'll find another job.
Yeah.
Do not lose yourself for a paycheck.
Yeah. And that's so important. And, you know, again, it kind of comes back to the whole theme of just the Sales Strong podcast. And, you know, my mom is sales website, that I totally agree. I think like you cannot be your best professional self if you're not your best personal self first. All these people that are kind of like running around trying to, you know, be the best salesperson, the best whatever, it's really hard to be the best of anything if you're not first, you know, taking care of your mind and your body and, you know, your own wellness. So that's awesome advice.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know about you. I mean, I find it hard to learn things without kind of having this advice. Where, besides like the meditation, like obviously, you know, I was in a similar position, excuse me, years ago. I mean, I worked at McDonald's for 10 years. I was eating fast food 2 days, you know, two meals a day, every day. And, you know, of course, just like,
I have to tell you, I love McDonald's.
It's great. I would still eat it.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Love McDonald's. Their fries are the best in the world. Anyway,
It's great. No, but I had a hard time. I struggled with that. I struggled with, you know, trying to figure out how to eat better, how to exercise more. I ended up getting a health coach, you know, probably a couple of years ago. Just kind of curious, you know, did you have any external advice or someone that you worked with that was able to kind of help bring this to the surface for you?
So I have a spiritual group. So I have a spiritual practice of women specifically. And we get together. Well, now we're doing virtual stuff, but we get together and we share our spiritual experiences, our journeys, our struggles. I need a tribe of people. And that's another shift for me, Colleen, is I was so ego driven of I am fine. I can do this myself. I don't need you. And that was the furthest thing from the truth. What I need people and relationships and people that love me and care about me. And I need a tribe. And so I find that tribe in the friends that I meditate with, in this little spiritual group that I belong to of women, where we come together and we talk about the things that that we're struggling with. And then how we can apply some spiritual practices to try to overcome those things. Because believe me, I do not have all the answers. I used to think I did, but I do not have I have more questions than I have answers.
Well, I wonder if it's just a sales trait now that you're talking, because I feel like I certainly have always felt the same way. And I mean, it's taken me, 14 years to really realize like, hey, I don't have all the answers. I don't know until very recently, like more about myself and who I am and what I want and need.
Right.
And that's what this is about. It's about like these support groups and finding these groups of, you know, women, people, whoever that are able to help surface, like what are the important things that are in our lives that we need to put focus into and, really dropping that ego. I think that's huge, right? Like I know it all, I can handle myself. I can do this without help. I don't need anybody else, you know, and, it's totally untrue. And we do need other people. We do need support in order to get us to where we want to go.
Yes, for sure. For sure. And again, that's just more of the breaking from the self that I grew up with of, you know, pick yourself up by your bootstraps, you know, that kind of philosophy was the parenting that I had. And I did that for a long time until I couldn't anymore, because, you know, I am a person. I'm just trying to have this human experience, and I meet people and I love people, and I don't want to do it by myself anymore. And I don't even want all that responsibility of like knowing the right answer. I don't want to know the answer. Somebody else know the answer.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to be at peace and just try to get through a day. Just try to get through a day without just going into that crazy mindset. I just don't want to live there anymore, you know.
I wonder if just like social media has like caused a lot of these challenges for people, like having to kind of display as though they're so perfect or sharing everything. You know, like I think about LinkedIn all the time and I'm like, all right, you look at someone's profile and what they post and everything's like happy-go-lucky and they're getting promotions and that's what you see, but you don't see like the struggles that they had to get that promotion or, you know, same thing with Facebook and Instagram, like people aren't posting their challenges, you know? And I wonder if that's just one of the things that kind of adds to everybody feeling as though they have to be the best at everything or only share the good stuff.
Sure, for sure. I would certainly agree with that. And that's been forever. You know, you can never, and I think as a woman, there's this whole perception of you can never be thin enough, beautiful enough, smart enough, whatever enough. And yeah, I think that comes through our media and social media for sure. Oh my gosh, you can't even turn it off anymore. Like before you could turn off the TV, social media is just happening constantly. Yeah. And that's there. That's there for sure.
Well, I know we're coming up on time. Is there anything that you would like to share with the listeners that we haven't talked about today before we go?
Well, first of all, I'm so grateful to be here and just share whatever I can offer. And I just want to say that I think salespeople are awesome. It's a really hard job, but you know, you have to be smart and creative and nimble and relational and a really hard worker. And I think that oftentimes salespeople, you know, there's the stereotype of the used car salesperson. And so that's kind of attached to us. But sales is it's a profession. It's an honorable profession that requires many, many skills. And I'm just, you know, so happy to be here and offer whatever I can offer to people. I would just suggest that salespeople love themselves first. And that's it, you know, love yourself. And I raised my children with do what you love and the money will come. And I firmly believe that. I firmly believe that. So do what you love and the money will come.
Yeah. There's some quote and I'm going to bosh it, but it was something of the effect of like, your company will never love you as much as you love them. I don't know, something. They're never going to love you back. You know,
that's
so like,
true. That's true. It's never enough. And if your quota is 500,000 and you hit 1 million, your quota is going to go up to 2 million. It's never enough.
Yeah.
So do what you love and the money will come.
Yeah. Well, that's great advice. I certainly think, especially in a profession that's so, you know, just high demand, like a sales role, it's really important just to take that step back and really assess, you know, who you are and what you need in order to be the best self. And just taking that time in the morning, you know, breathing, laying down, meditating for 5 minutes, or whatever you can do, you know, if you can take longer or if you can't quite get to that 5 minutes yet, just doing what you can and starting somewhere, right?
Yes, totally agreed. And part of the sales coaching that I do with small business owners, mid-sized business owners, that's part of it is mindset and wellness. It's not just how do I get to the decision maker, how to overcome objections. It is not that at all. That's part of it, but it's a small part of it. The coaching that I do with people is how do you take care of yourself and how do you show up for the world? And then we'll get to sales.
Hmm. So tell us a little bit more about that. What exactly are you doing with Sales Impact?
Okay, so aside from the B2B verticals that we have, which is outsourced sales management and diagnostic and prescriptive sales training, I work one-on-one and offer executive sales coaching, which is typically a three-month engagement where we go over visions, people's visions, 90-day goals, KPIs, what kind of tools they have, what products and services, really focusing on the target audience and the messaging. But before we get to any of that, we deal with mindset. Mindset, regardless of what anybody does, without mindset, nothing else can come. Nothing else can happen if you do not have the correct mindset. Correct isn't the right word. If you're not in a frame of mind to have a belief, a self-belief that propels you forward into the world. Without that, nothing happens. So that's what we do together.
I love that. That's awesome and much needed for sure. So if people want to find you or reach out to you, where can they do that?
Oh, well, they can email me directly at mary@salesimpact.group, or they can go to my website, www.salesimpact.group.
Awesome. So we'll make sure to include that in the description for our listeners today. But Mary, I just want to thank you so much. This has really been an awesome session, and I think, you know, very much needed for the audience. We've been talking so much about sales and sales and more sales. And I think, you know, bringing in a topic like this is very important, especially just given everything that, you know, we're going through during these tough times. So thank you again for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Colleen.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Sales Strong with Mama Sales. To get more information on the Mama Sales Mentoring Coaching Program, please visit mama-sales.com, where you'll also find other episodes and resources that are available for our followers. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Sales Strong with Mama Sales. Please visit mama-sales.com to check out other episodes and resources that are available to our followers, as well as to subscribe to the show.